I always wanted to be a Michael. Do you ever have a name you wanted to be?
No.
No. Okay.
It's not
okay.
Jason. Because I always get called Jason. Do you get that, Josh?
No. No.
I guess I look like a Jason. I tell people we work for. I'm Josh. Next day, always Jason.
I get Nick all the time. I don't know why. And the first thing,
see it.
They always call me Nick. And then the first thing they always say when I say my name, Neil, they always go, Neo, like the Matrix?
I don't know why. That's so funny.
Cannot play with him. Cannot win with him. Cannot cope with him. Can't do it.
You play the game.
Now, man, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. Not a game. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
Touchdown. You are now locked in to the Clock Dodgers Podcast.
Welcome to the Clock Dodgers Podcast. I'm your host, Neil. We have a special guest on today's episode. We're also down a regular man on today's episode. With me today, as always, is Josh. What's up, Josh?
Hi. I'll be Josh.
You are Josh. Okay. So the reason Josh is saying that is because while we don't have Adam today, because he's on a trip to Boston or some other lame excuse he made, we do have a guest today who is also Josh. And so we're trying to figure out, are we going to go last names? We're going to go Josh 1 and Josh 2. However, you guys decide this amongst yourselves, since you are the Joshes and not me. The other Josh that we have is Josh Bigby from Fantasy Fusion. What's up, Josh?
Hey, what's better than one Josh?
Two, I guess, if you like them. So you have to fill Adam's shoes today, Josh. You think you can handle that?
No, probably not.
What about the other Josh?
All right. Oh, I'll try.
Are we going to go? What do you want to do? Last names? Josh 1 and Josh 2? How do you want to do this?
I prefer last names to being numbered.
You want some respect, right?
Something like that.
You get what you want? You want to be Josh number 2? If you want to be Josh number 2 and he's Crocker.
Are we going to do a Scrubs call back here? Or call each other number 1, number 2 here? Or what's going on?
Whatever you guys want. All right. So we'll go. We can go. Last name for Crocker, which is our original Josh, and then Josh, guest Josh. Do you want to be Josh or do you want to be Bigby?
You can just call me Josh because everyone knows Crocker is Crocker.
That's right.
Because we all know he's full of Croc.
Yeah,
so
it's Josh Crocker over there. So, all right, cool. So Crocker is our guy. It's always here. And Josh will be – dude, we're just going to confuse the listeners. This is great. The other Josh is our guest Josh. So let's do this first. I always like to give some background when we have a new guest step into the show, especially since you've never been on the show before. It's kind of been a long time coming. So for the sake of the listeners, obviously me and Crocker know who you are, but for some people listening, they might not. So let's talk about you for a second. Just really quick, briefly, you have a website and a podcast, as I mentioned earlier, Fantasy Fusion. How would you describe your podcast, Josh?
On my podcast, I don't pretend that I don't listen to other fantasy podcasts, basically. So I'm not afraid to share what I've heard other places. And I just try to bring it all into one place. So what I'm doing this season, in season, is I'm kind of doing a next week tonight thing where I focus on what's coming up the following week. And so, like I said, I'm not afraid to tell people what I heard here, a little bit from there, a little bit from everywhere, but I bring it all together in one place for you. So you can get a head start on streamers, good buy sells, things like that. But yeah, it's Fusion Fantasy Football, fusionffb.com. That's me.
So are you saying that you feel like you bring the news or the advice before they happen? Is that what you're saying here?
I try. I mean, if you get tired of getting alerts from your major platforms 10 minutes before game time about who would be a good play, then maybe you should check me out and I'll
gotcha.
Have told you the same thing the week before.
It's a little bit of a shots fired. I respect it. I respect it, Josh. I respect it, man. So from an angle of what you feel the value that your show brings or your site brings, everything brings, Then all these other sources that everyone's consuming from, like Clock Dodgers and all the other big platforms, like you mentioned, you feel it's Is it just the fact that you feel like you're saying it earlier, or you're saying like, I listen to all the other podcasts, I'm admitting it? Are you saying that just from a research standpoint, or do you feel like other podcasts are like acting like they're the only voice? Is that what you're saying?
No, I mean, other people are aware of other people, but I actively, I'm not afraid of naming names, and not in a bad way, but actually recommending.
Gotcha.
And it's a little bit of both of my own stuff and things I pick up here and there. You know, one podcast will mention somebody, and they're not necessarily thinking about looking forward a week like I am, but they mentioned something that, a while back it was Dallas Goedert. Someone commented that Goedert was getting a lot of snaps lately. And so I was telling people, hey, maybe you should go get Goedert a week before, you know, he had that touchdown game 2 weeks ago, and then another good week this week, and now you probably can't pick him up. So it's a little bit of both me just bringing it. It's more, I would say, condensed, because for a lot of these other podcasts, that's not what they're focused on. They're focused on this week. So it's much more up close. I'm focused on the next week, at least what I'm doing. In off season, I do all kinds of different things.
Right.
And, dynasty focused. But as far as right now in season, what I'm doing, yeah, it's more of a condensed approach that you know that I'm focusing on the next week. And I can bring in a lot of different ideas and takes from various places that I picked up, and also, like I said, a lot of my own stuff.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a good way to describe it. And yeah, it's fun to talk to Josh, whether you're listening to his podcast, whether you're using the site, whether you're just in chats with him or on Twitter. It's fun. And what's the Twitter so people can find you again?
Everything's Fusion FFB, Fusion Fantasy Football. So at Fusion FFB on Twitter and FusionFFB.com.
Got it. All right, cool. All right, so that gives a quick summary of you, what you're about, and why you're here. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the past week, going into the future week here. Let's talk about everything that we always do in fantasy. The first thing I did want to start with, because I feel like it's significant in some sense, and also I feel like it's about time, and that's Andy Dalton being benched by the Bengals. He's following in Mariota's footsteps to the bench. So either one of you can start first. I guess, Crocker, I'll let you start first, because you were, I don't want to say it, bothered by Mariota being benched, but you were kind of like, you know, you felt like it was a little maybe unjustified. How do you feel about Dalton being benched? Do you feel like this one is justified? Do you feel like it's a long time coming? Or, again, are you feeling like, they just feel like they're trying to force this guy out?
Well, I think that the Bengals are in a different place than the Titans. The Bengals are, you know, obviously not competing this year, and they want to find out what they have in Ryan Finley. So from that perspective, I understand what they're doing. But I'm not super excited about it, because the Bengals wide receivers have been producing. I mean, it's been a little bit fickle, you know, like it'll be Alex Erickson a week. It'll be Auden Tate. Tyler Boyd will get in there and have a big week. And I've used those players. I've liked seeing that happening, and I'm afraid that with Ryan Finley, I don't know that we get any continuity at all. So even though Andy Dalton's numbers, you know, on his own have not been fantastic, he's been fine, really. He's been like a bottom end QB1, high end QB2. What he has been doing that is worth more to me is supporting those wide receivers. And I'm afraid that with Ryan Finley, that goes away.
Yeah, so it sounds sort of like how we felt about Mariota, though, in a sense where, like, he wasn't that bad. But it does feel like when Ryan Tannehill came in the offense, you guys tell me if you feel like I'm wrong here, but it does feel like it's more alive, right? I mean, there definitely is a difference. It definitely feels different. Josh, not Crocker, but Josh, do you think that this is going to play out kind of like the Titans did, where you benched the longtime starter and the new guy kind of brings a new life to the team? Or do you think that this is going to be a negative effect for the Bengals right now, immediately?
Well, look, I was a bit of a defender of Mariota, even if I said he wasn't that great. But it seemed like he had some tough breaks for a long time, and I was willing to give him a little bit of a pass here and there. But you can't deny that their passing game has certainly come more alive than it was. And so I've got to conclude some of that's on Mariota. So I don't think that's what we're going to see in Cincinnati, though, because like Crawford was saying, like it or not, I I'm not sure Dalton was really the problem. Now, he's not a transcendent quarterback that's going to lift his team up, but I'm not sure he was holding them back either. I mean, it feels like they're replacing him because they don't have anyone to replace offensive linemen with.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely, you know, we'll see if the timing plays out correctly, but it does lead me into our trust issue segment. That's kind of why I wanted to talk about Dalton first, because on our trust issues, I have Ryan Finley, and I think it's obviously a big deal, you know, moving forward, because like you guys are mentioning, we weren't really concerned about Andy Dalton per se, but the wide receivers that he was making productive. And so now, you know, obviously Ryan Finley, whether your plans are ever to play this guy or you're in a position to have to do that or whatever, but even just his weapons, what, you know, I can't help but think we're concerned about this, right? Like, AJ Green's going to come back eventually. He didn't get traded, so he'll be a Bengal. And then that already kind of threw, you know, some issues into the wide receiver area there, where we said some guys were all standing out one week and not the next. But I mean, can Finley really do better than Dalton with, like you mentioned, the bad O-line and how things have shaped up? Can we really expect anything better, or can it only get worse? Crocker.
I mean, I don't think anything about Ryan Finley really inspires confidence. I mean, he was a fourth-round draft pick. In a QB-thirsty NFL, if you are picked in the fourth round as a QB, nobody thinks that much of you, because if there was even a chance, you would be Daniel Jones, you know?
Right.
So that to me is a big problem. And then his stats by themselves are not that great. His college yards per attempt was 38th percentile. You know, his QBR was quite a bit better at 73rd percentile, but it's just underwhelming.
Yeah, so Josh, you like to look ahead. You mentioned earlier that's kind of the way you approach things with your show and everything. If you have Bengals wide receivers right now, from AJ Green down to all the players who have gotten hot and then disappear, get hot, disappear, are you selling them all, or are there ones that you're buying?
Well, they're on bye this week,
right.
So we're not
just
even
rest of season.
Get to see. Yeah, I'm just saying they're on bye this week, so I'm not even sure. You're not going to be able to see. So I wouldn't be moving. If you can sell and actually get something, then go ahead and do that just because they're on bye. And that's not any points you're getting this week, so you might as well get something. But Finley, am I wrong? Did he come in briefly in a game, right, when Dalton was out this season? I'm trying to find something about it, and I can't find anything. Anyway, I don't know. I heard good things about him, decent things about coming in, but like Crocker was saying, I don't see how it'll be much better for the receivers. Maybe you could say, I don't expect Boyd to lose much because he's still the number one guy. So you would expect an inexperienced quarterback to still feed the number one guy just as much, but you know, quality per attempt may go down.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, like you mentioned, he actually hasn't come in. I don't think, unless I'm missing something, he may have came in a game and thrown a couple of passes. But I don't
think
it
was briefly. It was either just to close out a game, or maybe Dalton had to go out for if he got hit in the head or something like that.
Yeah,
you know, get checked.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how, you know, Finley does with these guys. And I mean, I have Finley in a dynasty league, so you know, I feel like he was worth drafting.
Because you have a lot of Derek Carr, so you've got to have backups.
Listen
right?
to this guy. Actually, I'm 8-0 in that league, and I just steamrolled our good friend Josh over here last week. So sorry about that, Josh.
Okay.
Well, I'm not sure it was steamrolled, but yeah. Good week.
50 points is pretty decent, right? Don't worry. You're not the only one. I've steamrolled everyone this year. 8-0. I'm waiting for someone to stop me. But that's besides the point.
It's all right.
Maybe I'll start Finley.
Champ. We'll see how it goes in the playoffs.
Maybe I'll start Finley when he comes back, just to kind of give someone a chance. You know,
that'd be nice.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that. We'll see. So overall, right now, it feels like, just as far as the Bengals go, as far as Finley goes, as far as the wide receivers go, I feel like there's no way we can say trust for any of us, right? I mean, from everything we're saying, everything I'm gathering, it sounds like we have trust issues with them. Period. Going forward. I guess the only question I have to either one of you is, do you think any wide receiver will emerge with Ryan Finley as his guy? Or do you think it's going to be like it was with Dalton, 1 week, one guy, 1 week, the next?
If I was going to make a bet, I would probably place a bet on the person who's playing the low A dot role. So far, I think we're looking at Alex Erickson again. He's got an A dot of 9. Tyler Boyd, both of them are playing pretty close to the line of scrimmage. So, you know, maybe he homes in on Tyler Boyd. But that would be my guess.
Yeah. And then we got AJ Green when he returns, and of course he would just be the guy for sure if he comes back healthy.
Well, that's why I would stick with Boyd, because if AJ Green does come back, you kind of get a repeat of even last season, where Boyd was the underneath guy and AJ was making room for him. So Boyd is both the incumbent option right now, and he can profit from AJ Green taking attention away.
Got it. So we don't trust Ryan Finley, but we do trust Boyd.
Do we trust AJ Green?
No.
I don't think you can.
If he's on the field, someone's got to defend him. So
I really want them to get traded.
So did I. What are they doing? I mean, I don't know. I guess there's a lot more pieces than I see with a trade like that. But why would you keep him? Not that he doesn't have value, but your team is not in that place.
It's funny that, I mean, we think that, but they may think they are in that place. Who knows? Speaking of place and where a team is at, did you guys see Le'Veon Bell come out after the trade deadline pass? What he said about the Jets?
No, what did he say?
He did like a video and he was like, you know, these things take time. I'm happy I'm a Jet. Like, you guys got to understand, like, you know, this process doesn't just happen overnight. Like, you know, you can't build teams as quick as you think. Like, you know, find super, you know, a lot of success early. So, like, he seems like he's all in on the Jet, you know, Jet mission statement over there.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people out there that would like to talk about how bad a teammate Le'Veon Bell is because he held out. And that may not be true at all. I don't think that's a fair conclusion for someone to reach.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how the Jets play out. But Le'Veon Bell's a fan, man. He's a fan with what's going on. He said he's happy to be there. Speaking of a running back.
He's a Patriot fan.
He's a Patriot fan?
I don't have a problem with what the Jets have been doing. It seems like the only bad move they've made lately is Gase. But, yeah, I think he's right. They are building something pretty good other than that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always hard for, you know, I guess from a fan perspective, you know, we always want things to happen quicker than they probably should or can, you know.
Darnold was, what, the youngest starting quarterback ever?
Well, you know.
Yeah, I think that's right.
You're kind of filling in for Adam, and you can't show Darnold love at all. So you're going to have to dial that back a little bit, man. You're supposed to tell us how he sucks.
I'll do better.
All right. The next guy on our list here is Darius Geis. He'll be returning. He'll be returning healthy, hopefully. And hopefully he doesn't get hurt again right away. Now, obviously, AP has done pretty well while Geis has been gone. But we know that the Redskins are, you know, weren't trying to push AP earlier in the year. They were forced to when he got hurt. So, going forward, again, we're talking about rest of season. Going forward, if it's this week or just rest of season, do you guys trust Darius going forward, or do you not trust him?
I don't trust him. You know, Adrian Peterson has played a role, but for a fantasy asset, he's been very up and down, and that just comes with being a running back on a below-average team that also does not do a lot of passing work. And so I'm excited to see if Darius Geis can come in and incorporate that, you know, be the bell cow, be Chris Thompson, and be Adrian Peterson. But as excited as I am for Darius Geis, I really thought that it would take Dwayne Haskins hitting for Darius Geis to also hit, you know, because the team could get so much better. And so far, we're not seeing Dwayne Haskins hit. So I definitely have trust issues with Darius Geis. As much as I think he's a quality player, he's going to be a product of the Redskins.
Yeah, Big B, do you think I went Big B, like I used your last name even though you told me not to? I break rules here, man. Listen, do you think Gaius is going to come in and get all the workload again? Or do you think this time they're going to say, let's split it up evenly, let's just keep it safe and just split both of these guys and make it hard for us, even harder for us to choose who to use and if we're going to start them, if we're going to play them? Or do you think they're going to, you know, go with the youth and push it all on them?
Man, I don't know for sure, of course, but I cannot imagine that in the position they are with the injury record this guy has, that they would put it all on him at this point in the season. I mean, why? What would be the point? Get what you can out of AP this year. Bring him back in, ease him back in slowly. And the other thing we have to remember here is there's been a coaching change since all this happened with Geis. And this new coach, I can't even remember his name, but he has commented that, you know, he wants to run the ball, but I don't think that means he's just necessarily going to give it all to Geis. He's a nice upside add for the playoffs. If you're a contender, that's what I'm going to, you know, label him as, but I'm not going to put any confidence on him.
So if you had $100 right now and you had a bid on him, how much would you put?
Depend on how running back desperate my team was, but no more than maybe a third.
Gotcha. Crocker, same?
To start with.
Or would you go less because you're afraid of him?
You know, at this point in the season, if I'm sitting there with a lot of fab left and Darius Geis is there, I think I'm going to make the playoffs. I might go 50% or more on him, because what else are you going to spend it on?
Right.
It's true. Makes sense. So another guy that it sounds like we're all kind of, you know, we're tempering our expectations. So if we have to say trust or trust issues, it sounds like we all have trust issues again.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, with the understanding that, you know, the problem is this is the Redskins. That's what I go back to before he got hurt. And it's where we're at now. It's like the Redskins, man, like just so hopefully the new coach thing matters. We'll see. But
the Redskins, there's a whole list of guys we could go down through who are in good situations if the other guy gets hurt.
Yeah.
And he for me, he's just on that list. You know, if AP does get hurt, then maybe Geis could be a league winner. But there's about four or five other guys I could list that are in the same kind of situation.
Gotcha. All right. The last guy on the trust issues list, I had to put him on here, right? So this guy caused quite a fuss on Twitter this past week. That's Miles Sanders. Caused more of a fuss because of Matt Kelly and I can't believe I don't even know the guy on Twitter's name that started it. What was the guy's name who tweeted?
Angelo.
Okay. So someone was saying that Miles Sanders was a couple years away. Matt Kelly disagreed, right? And that caused a lot of issues because of how he disagreed, how he went about saying he disagreed. And so it caused a big fuss on Twitter, which you'd have to go back and read it all to totally understand and enjoy or not enjoy. But Miles Sanders, you know, was a hot name this week, and he did well. He didn't look like he was 2 years away. So I'm curious what you guys are feeling as far as trusting him. For me, obviously, I feel like you could trust Miles Sanders, but I feel like with the understanding that, you know, like this may be like an inconsistent ride, you know, right now, because, you know, I'm still a big Jordan Howard fan. I'm never going to take my foot off that gas pedal. So I feel like, you know, you never know, but Miles Sanders clearly is going to get a lot of, you know, he's going to get work, and he clearly is a playmaker, no matter how he gets the ball. But some people don't trust him, and I don't know if this game changes that for the people who say he was a couple years away, or if they still, you know, stay in that lane. But I'm curious what you two think. Crocker, you can go first and let me know, do you have trust issues with him, or do you trust him?
I think Miles Sanders is a good player now, and just like looking at any NFL running back and saying, well, you're 2 years away from being a good running back, that's just saying you're not good. Like, I mean, I'm not a you know, tape grinder, nor am I any kind of a expert on player development or any of these kinds of things. But we know that running backs are almost completely dependent on their circumstances. And it just seems silly to me to say, if this running back develops these skills, then in 2 years he can be something, when we don't have any idea what his situation will be in 2 years. Like, maybe this is good analysis for like an actual NFL team, but for fantasy football, I find it to be useless.
Yeah, I feel like there's also this part where, like, I mean, for his stats this past week, right? He had 3 rushes, I believe, for 74 yards, and then 3 catches for 44 yards.
Yeah, what Miles Sanders had brought just in the receiving, you know, being targeted downfield and doing well with those targets is fantastic.
Yeah, and a big part of that too is, like, if you look at how many yards he's getting per reception or per attempt, like, sometimes you get guys who are good, but they're not a grinder, right? Like, they're not the guy who has to carry the ball 20 times a game and have this awesome, you know, grind the team out kind of feel. Like, sometimes guys are just good when they get the ball, you know, 10 times a game or whatever it is from all different angles, and they make one big play here, one big play there, and they don't do it all game long, but they make the big plays, and it's just, they're just playmakers in that sense. And if that is who Miles Sanders is that really a problem even? I mean, I don't have an issue with that, right? That's what Philip Lindsay is in a sense. That's what, you know, a lot of guys are. They make big plays here or there and can change games in one play. And then other than that, they may not always, you know, put it together that way. And it's just the way it is. Like, I don't think there's something wrong with that. Do you know what I mean?
No, I don't either. I mean, he is a little bit undersized, 211 pounds, 33rd percentile BMI. So, you know, maybe he's not going to be fantastic between the tackles, but I don't know. I just don't think of players like that in the NFL. This is a Matt Waldman thing, but like when players get to the NFL, it is not learning how to play your instrument. It is practicing playing the songs. You know, when they are practicing what they do, I wholeheartedly believe that they are just practicing the plays, the playbook, the scheme. I do not think that they are really teaching people how to play position, especially running back. I just don't buy it.
Yeah, back to that whole Twitter thread by Angelo. It was a whole thread of analysis. But two things about that was, first of all, it was analysis. It was like technical scouting, you know, about how he's running and angles and stuff like this. But it was about how he was rushing the ball, running the ball on the ground. Mm-hmm. And for the past few weeks, if not 3, they've been getting him more and more involved in the passing game as opposed to the rushing game. And actually, to Angelo's credit, he admitted at the beginning of that he was more involved and more improved in the receiving game than he had scouted him initially. So to me, it's kind of funny that both people could almost take wins on this, because they could say, well, yeah, he's not involved in the run game. Meanwhile, Matt Kelly's looking at it and saying, yeah, he had a great game, lots of points. But from where? It was from the passing game. I'd actually been recommending him as a streaming option versus they were playing a lot of defenses that have been bad against receiving backs. So for that very reason, I actually was putting some confidence in him. And again, this coming week, unfortunately, he had a really good game this week. I was thinking this would be his down week because it was a pretty good matchup. But I think he's a decent high upside flex depending on your team, but I'd stream him.
Yeah, it sounds like now this one we all trust. So we're all in agreement on this one too. And, you know, maybe you're right, Josh, as far as from a running standpoint, you know, just strictly running the ball. Maybe he has, you know, this room to improve, and maybe Angelo's right in that sense. But, you know, again,
I have a problem putting like a time frame on it, like Crocker was saying. I mean, that is a little weird to say it's 2 years out. I mean, it's okay to say these are the issues, but then it was a little weird to put a time frame on it. I mean, maybe it just takes a couple of games and it's going to snap and he's going to get it, you know, and that's a lot of beside, that's more NFL than fantasy.
Yeah.
And so I hate to put any kind of time frame on that. He could get it next game. He could get it next season. He could get it never. But what we are seeing in the past game is good. And it's certainly are willing to use him in it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely usable now. He's definitely good now. And, you know, I don't know if that argument was even a fantasy argument. Like you said, it was probably just a football analysis argument. But, yeah, for sure, we all trust him in a fantasy aspect, whether it's a flex or however. We'll see how he develops. But he definitely has the stay-in power and enough, you know, big playability to be worthy for sure of being in your lineup. So, all right, we all trust him. So that's it for trust issues. Let's go ahead and move over to rank them. We're going to list three players for different reasons, and we're going to rank them how we favor them from our higher favored to lower favored. So the first one we're doing is buy-in on the buy. I got three players here who are all on bye week this week. I'm curious how you guys would rank them as far as who you would buy. The most likely to buy and then least likely to buy, trying to get them obviously while they're, you know, owner may need a trade to fill in their spot, or if you're just trying to get them while they're not playing, whatever the reason is. But these are three guys who are on bye. They are Daryl Henderson, Alex Erickson, who we've seen like we talked about a lot the last couple of weeks, and a new name to the list and a new name to the podcast who we have not spoken about at all, Russell Gage. So I'm going to go ahead and let Josh, our guest, start today on this one. Curious who you're buying more likely buying to your least likely to buy.
I'm gonna stash Daryl Henderson first, just because I mean there's the upside with Malcolm Brown getting beat up. I'm not sure how long he's gonna possibly be out. I'm guessing he's back after this bye, but either way they saw some good things out of him. So just the upside alone. Who knows when Gurley's knee decides, you know, arthritis decides to flare up as we get later into the season. So upside alone, if I'm a contender, he's who I want. Then I'll go, you know, between Erickson and Gage. Look, we've seen what Erickson is. I'm sorry, I can't do it. I can't buy into it, especially with this quarterback change. At least Gage has that, you know, that word upside. So I'll take Gage next and Erickson last.
Interesting. Crocker, are you in agreement with this order or are you going to mix it up a little bit?
No, I think Daryl Henderson is probably the one that you want to stash the most. But I would also say that, you know, Malcolm Brown, well, he's not involved in the passing game at all. And that's a problem. But he has been a good runner between the tackles. So, he's second in juke rate, 44.7%. I don't expect him to really completely lose that job. And that limits some of what Darrell's upside is. I would still take him first. And then Alex Erickson, I would take next. I like a guy that goes out and gets double-digit targets. You know, and that is what he has done. At least, you know, I think it was week 7 he did that. Russell Gage, I mean, he stepped up to fill the void, but I think that all he will ever be is the extra targets that Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones cannot absorb. I just don't see a lot of promise there. Maybe I'm missing something on Russell Gage.
No, I mean, I think you're right as far as, you know, obviously we're seeing him more because of, you know, Sanu. I have to mention, you say Darrell, I said Daryl. You're just, this is your thing, man. But, yeah, I mean, he could be, I don't know. That offense obviously is not, I mean, the team is obviously not that great and they're throwing like crazy. Matt Schaub went off for crying out loud. So, I mean, this team is going to throw the ball like crazy. It puts value on him just for that alone. And then the problem is, like you said, there's Julio Jones. There's even Freeman. There's Hooper. There's all these other guys that are like getting targets. So, you know, how often is this, you know, is Gage going to be productive, you know, and be worthy of playing? So I'm actually with you on the order you went with, Crocker. I'm curious, Josh. So why are you choosing Gage over Erickson?
Well, like always, nothing's in a vacuum, so it's going to depend on your team. Right. I certainly hope that for my team, I don't need a guy that I'm happy if he gets 10 points. I'm hoping, or more than that, I hope I have other players. If you really do just need a fill-in, in from weeks 10 on, then I'd be fine with taking Erickson. I just worry with him. I mean, you said you want double-digit targets. Well, most of that came in one drive against Jacksonville 2 weeks ago, and then he was 6-7 last week. So, I mean, yeah, it's consistent points. It's not much different than what you talked about Sanu, kind of what he would give you. So if you just need a fill-in, then I absolutely have no problem with that. And on Henderson, something you said there made me think, do we really think the Rams are doing anything this season now? I mean, this is soon to become a lost season for them, right?
Yeah, it's not going well.
Yeah. So are they really going to keep investing in Malcolm Brown? Or are they going to maybe turn and see what they have with Henderson? So that, again, is kind of my thinking.
The Rams struggling is an interesting thing, too, because it's like, man, they've invested a lot of, you know, draft picks and money, and they got guys to sign. And it's just like, if you feel like it's a lost season, man, I don't know. Like,
the Rams look a lot like my dynasty team where I bought Gurley, and I was trying to win now, and it didn't go well.
Yes, yeah, so, I mean, what happens then? Like, if they're not good, or if they're not good enough now, like, where do they go from here? Like, what needs to change? You know what I mean? Is it just, I don't know. It's a weird thing.
That's tough because here in, you know, not very long, they're going to have to pay Jared Goff, and that's not going to make anything easier.
And Ramsey. Rebuild.
Maybe they can sign Dalton.
Sign Dalton.
Maybe they should.
Somebody should have traded for Dalton before this trade deadline passed.
What I mean, I don't think that this year is Goff's fault. Goff is not very good, but he was not very good last year when the Rams were fantastic. So, you know, I can't really put my finger on exactly what it is that has changed, but I don't think it's Goff's fault.
Well, here's an off-season trade you could see, which is Nick Foles going to L.A.
Replacing Goff?
We'll see.
Oh, you guys. I don't know. I don't think Goff's going to replace.
I've never been a huge Goff fan, and I thought I was kind of reconsidering that last year. But, yeah, I don't know.
Adam is going to kill
you. But I'm not sure there's better options around anyway. So
Adam's going to kill you when he hears this podcast, man. Loving Darnold, hating on Goff. You're just fitting right into me and Crocker's themes over here, man. It's great. All right. The next group that we have here is wide receivers, Josh Reynolds, Goff's teammate, Chris Conley, Foles' teammate, and Danny Amendola. We're looking at this for, I guess, redraft, obviously, with Amendola on here. Rest of season. Crocker, I'll let you start, man.
This is a tough group for me. I mean, Josh Reynolds came in, replaced Brandon Cooks, and was targeted 8 times, which beats out the usage that Brandon Cooks has been getting this year. So with whatever it is that's going on with the Rams, you know, Brandon Cooks is not getting a lot of usage, which is very, very disappointing. And part of me just wants to see if Josh Reynolds can do something different. So I'm somewhat excited about Josh Reynolds. You know, Conley has been seeing usage the last 2 or 3 weeks with the Jags, and it's not just because Didi was out. So I see value there too. I mean, he's been getting 6, 7, 8 targets, if I'm not mistaken. And then Danny Amendola, I think, may be the actual beneficiary of Kerryon Johnson going away with the, you know, the short passing game. So, you know, I think most upside is probably Josh Reynolds, because Chris Conley should have already fired, and Danny Amendola, we know what he is. So I would go in that order: Reynolds, Conley, Amendola. But I don't know. I don't feel extremely set in that ranking.
Josh?
Oh, I wish you were. Then it would be more fun when I disagreed.
I'm going to disagree with it also.
No, so. Look, this is similar with, you know, do you want upside or do you want a solid fill-in? So I'd probably take Amendola first, just because I'm more confident, if we're going back to, you know, confidence, trust issues here, I would go with Amendola first, just because I think he's going to get you more consistent points. Reynolds definitely is next. It's between those two. Just like because of the upside, like you said, he's always done well in the past when he got inserted into that third wide receiver role in McVay's offense. So I think it looked like he just kept doing it again this week. And Chris Conley, he's getting those targets now, but he was at the beginning of the season too, and then all of a sudden it disappeared again. So who's to say it's not going to just disappear again? I'd have to check on how serious D.D. Westbrook's injury was, and if he's going to be out more than a week or two, that would possibly sway me. But
all right, I respect both your takes. I am going to go Amendola first. I just think he's, you know, like Josh mentioned here, if you're looking just for a consistent guy to put in the lineup that you trust, that you hope isn't going to fail you too much, I feel like he's a safe bet at this point. Matthew Stafford slinging the rock everywhere. They have to throw the ball. Crocker mentioned starting running backs out. So I think Amendola is a safe play, you know, from week to week. I'm actually going to go Conley second, though. I'm not buying the Reynolds thing yet. I mean, he's only done 1 week. He's only played good 1 week. Conley, if you look back at his stats, these are games that he's had 97 yards, 73 yards. Then a big lull, 30, 17, 26, 0, probably out that week, but then up to 83 and 103 the next two following games. Two touchdowns on the year. He makes big plays, right? So with Minshew, Conley, I'm not mad at it. Like, there's something there. There's something there. I'd have to dig deeper to see why it's happening and disappearing like that. But the Josh Reynolds thing, I mean, I don't have enough consistency to believe in that. And then there's so many other wide receivers there that are super talented. You're talking about the running backs that are talented. Goff, you know, struggling, you know, just we're not fans of them. I'm going to put Reynolds last. So I'm going to go Amendola, Conley, Reynolds.
I totally agree that if I had to start one of these guys for the rest of the year, it would be Danny Amendola.
You were just picking Reynolds as upside.
Went out early in this game, so this is essentially a game without Westbrook for Conley.
Yeah, but I feel like the usage was already there. Like in week 7, he had 8 targets. Week 8, 7 targets. I don't know. I mean, surely DD being off of the field helps him in some way, but I don't think that it was just totally because of that.
I'm telling you, when you catch 70-yard touchdowns, your quarterback remembers it, man. So if DD leaving is what let Minshew know this guy can go deep and I can trust him, you gotta give it some credit, man. He's had some big weeks. I'm telling you, Minshew is going to trust this guy, and he's going to be better than Reynolds. He'll finish the season better than Reynolds. I don't know why you guys trust Reynolds for 1 week.
I know. If you can't have big weeks with Patrick Mahomes throwing you the ball, I'm sorry. I just can't.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Patrick Mahomes is no Minshew, my friends. Don't even know what you're talking about. All right. That was a fun grouping right there. The last grouping that we have here is a bunch of tight ends. We got Jonnu Smith from the Titans with his new fancy quarterback. Darren Fells, who I don't even want to talk about since he tore it up against the Raiders. And Dallas Goedert, the guy everyone feels like they're always talking about, is going to break out. And I know our guy Josh here has some strong feelings on him. But these are the three tight ends we're going to rank for the rest of the season. Let's let Josh go first.
I know Smith's had a couple big games here, but I've got to go with Dallas Goedert and what he's doing right now, consistently outperforming Zach Ertz. And that offense needs weapons. The wide receivers just aren't cutting it, which is why we're seeing even Sanders more involved, and now both tight ends. Well, I say both. Ertz is hardly being used. It's Goddard instead. So I'm going with Goddard as a solid every week play right now over these other guys. I'd go with Jonnu Smith, I guess, next. He kind of has that upside right now, that connection going lately. So I'd get on that ride and see where it goes. But it's hard because I love Darren Fells too. Just, I think I joked the other day, he's old Will Disley. How did I say it? Yeah. So he just goes out there, catches touchdowns. You love that guy in that offense, that high production offense with Houston. So, I mean, for a few weeks there, I saw their schedule and I was predicting Akins might do something, but I picked the wrong Texans tight end. So did I. It's Darren Fells.
Yeah, I did the same thing. You're not to blame, man. I did the same thing. Crocker, who do you have of these three?
I think I would have to go Jonnu first. And, I mean, it's just, you know, the last 2 weeks, Jonnu has been running 20 routes a game. He's getting a little bit more of a snap share than Goddard is, 64% to Dallas's 54%, so 10% more.
Even knowing that Delanie Goddard Walker
is doing this. What?
Even knowing Delanie Walker is going to come back at some point, you still would choose him rest of the season? Smith?
I think Delanie's done.
You think so? Okay.
Maybe that's wrong. But I think Delanie may come back in spirit and, like, we get to cheer for him and yay, but I think Jonnu's the guy. Maybe that's naive. You know, if that's naive, then Dallas Goddard is number one here. But I want Jonnu.
You want him. I see that, man.
How awesome is this group that the Titans have now? It's Corey Davis, AJ Brown, Jonnu Smith. That's fantastic. Like, that's exciting.
It's not bad.
I want a piece of that.
You want a piece of it. I think you maybe want the wrong piece, but that's fair. You want a piece. That's fair.
They just needed to get Ryan Tannehill out of there, and it'll be even better.
Oh, who do you want there? Mariota again? Come on.
No, it's a rookie quarterback.
Dalton.
It would be fine. It would be fine with Dalton. They would do fine.
That is hilarious. Well, I mean, when we're
ranking, am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean,
go.
You're not wrong.
It would be very Bengals reminiscent.
Yeah, you know, ranking these guys is interesting because, you know, Jonnu, obviously, we're talking about because Delanie Walker got hurt. If he didn't get hurt, will we talk about Jonnu as much right now? Probably not. Goddard, you know, you said Ertz is struggling. Goddard, the thing with Goddard is, like, he's got three touchdowns on the season already, right? And so that's great. But Fells, who we're all putting last, has five. Like, I feel like, why are we ignoring Fells right now? Like, he's got a great quarterback. We know that. He's got five touchdowns on the season already. If I can get touchdowns out of my tight ends, man, like, I'll take that every day of the week. And he's had some good games. He's had two touchdown games. Two. I'm willing to put this guy first. Fuck you both. I will put Fells first, Goddard second, and Smith last, because I don't give a shit about Smith, because he's got Ryan Tannehill as a quarterback, and Walker will be back and be the man again. So
you're mad about Jonnu Smith because he cost as much as Foster Moreau did on DraftKings and put up points.
I don't care about that. Screw you. I'm going Fells.
Tannehill doesn't have a connection with Walker.
Doesn't matter. So, it doesn't matter.
I mean, even if he comes back, I don't know. Maybe that's what was holding Smith back this whole time.
We'll see. I'm staying
you
with
know
Fells.
What? Like, I'll give you credit, though. You look at Darren Fells, he's getting more snaps than Jonnu or Dallas Goddard. He's running more routes than either one of them. You know, he's not.
He's just not the guy.
Up and down.
He's not the guy everyone talks about. Listen, 6'7", 280 pounds. He's scoring double touchdown games. He's making plays. He's getting receptions. He's got a killer as a quarterback who is always improvising and throwing to him and throwing it. You know, it's, man, come on. I don't know how you guys aren't putting Fells first. Get out of here.
If you just need consistent points, you've got a good lineup. I want the guys I know are getting some targets. That's why I went Goddard first.
That's fair.
But yeah, hey, if I'm in a situation where I need somebody to break out, then yeah, roll the dice.
I love this. We all picked someone different for our top guy. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. And Josh will be wrong.
Finally.
Both Joshes. I like that. I like when there's two Joshes. It's easy to just say Josh will be wrong because you're both wrong then. Perfect. All right, let's move over to the not so obvious flex lock of the week, which is like kind of why I feel like Adam canceled on us. I feel like he couldn't deal with the pressure anymore of this, and so he had to bail on us this week. Talking about who won, no one really won this again this week. We had D.D. Westbrook out here. He got injured, couldn't get anything done for him. Corey Davis with Ryan Tannehill slinging the rock, couldn't really get anything done. And then my tight end, who I was mocked for, Foster Moreau, had more points as all your guys, which, you know, it just goes to show you that you can pick off of ESPN's 10-team league flex option, or you can listen to me and my deep pick and still get the same value. Doesn't really matter. But
how many points exactly did Foster Moreau have?
I don't know.
He had two.
Two.
He had two fantasy
points. 2 points more than both of your guys. That's how I know. Listen, what's even more interesting for me is I said Slayton 2 weeks ago. He goes off this week. I said Moreau last week. Now he's going to go off this week. I hope the listeners are paying attention. I'm like our guy over here. I'm a week ahead. Right, Josh? Right? Right? That's all this is going on here. So, what?
Corey Davis had 6 targets. I mean, that's not like exciting, but 6 targets, and he turned that into 9 receiving yards on 2 catches. Like, what the hell, Corey?
Sounds like a pretty regular Corey Davis game.
I love it. You know, I seriously played a cash lineup this week. Let me tell you who it was. It was Deshaun Watson, fantastic, right? Latavius Murray, fantastic. Leonard Fournette, pretty good. Saquon Barkley, great. My wide receivers were Corey Davis and D.D. Westbrook. Guess how many cash games I won? None of them. None of them.
All I got out of that was Saquon Barkley.
Yeah. I was going to say, Neil, are we going to let him get away with
it? I'm not letting him get away with it. That's all I fucking heard. As soon as he said that, I tuned out.
I didn't hear anything else.
That's all I heard. This guy, I don't know if he's doing it on purpose. I don't know what this is. He said Saquon Barkley, and I just turned off.
He's got to be doing it on purpose.
It's got to be on purpose.
Picks anymore.
Sasquatch. It's not Sasquatch.
I can't believe
that's
what's happening.
Sasquatch. There's an extra S in there. It's not even the same thing.
Can't believe what's happening.
It is the most similar word we have.
Not really. We also have Traquans.
Bam. Raquans. We got all kinds of stuff. We don't call them Raquans and Traquans. You are horrible with names, my friend.
I'm good at names.
I think you're too much of an educator. I think you're just going too literal here, man.
I might be wrong about Saquon.
You're wrong about all of them. Sanu, Saquon. You're just wrong, man. That's it.
Oh, my. Okay, just quick. Play it back for me. Who did he actually pick?
I picked Corey Davis. It was terrible. Adam picked D.D. Westbrook, who got hurt. So, like, he gets a pass. And then someone actually picked Foster Moreau.
I was right one. Mine was right. It just didn't play out
maybe
how I
just,
wanted it.
Maybe just... You were all wrong.
We were. Yeah, we all lost.
I think that's where we're going.
That's how this works sometimes.
No wonder you guys brought me in.
All right. So we're going to drop our new locks of the week, this time without Adam. Maybe we'll get his off the air, and we'll still throw it into the mix here. That's the fair way to do this. But since you are the guest of the week, Josh, I'll let you go first. So that way, if you take my guy, you take my guy, and I'll just have to find somebody else. So go ahead. You can grace us and bless us with your not so obvious flex lock of the week. But in most cases, if you're like Adam and Crocker, they are obvious.
No. I'm going to go a little deep here, and I'm going to stick by someone. If you were listening to my podcast last week, I was predicting for week 9, and I'm going to go with Taylor Gabriel against that atrocious Eagles secondary, especially giving up big plays to the speed guys, but he plays some underneath too. They've got a good run defense, so I don't think they're going to be able to just bash Montgomery against the wall repeatedly. So Taylor Gabriel for a good game.
There you go, Jock Crocker. He went deep on you here, man. He didn't play this game that Adam plays with you. So let's see who you go with, my friend.
Can I just say that, like, I appreciate the Taylor Gabriel because he's like the guy that I keep on several rosters just in case. And I always feel okay starting Taylor Gabriel because, like, he could, you know? I appreciate what Taylor Gabriel brings. My lock, what's that?
There's a chance.
There is. There's always a chance of Taylor. So I'm going to go with Deontay Johnson of the Steelers. He'll be playing the Colts in week 9. He's been getting respectable volume. He kind of had a lull midseason, but it's been, you know, 6 targets, 8 targets, and then a stinker, 7 targets. I feel like this is actually a pretty quality player that the Steelers have. And in a game against the Colts, they may need to score some points. I think he has potential.
Nice. So we have, let me mark these down so we can't forget these picks that you guys have. So we have Taylor Gabriel so far. And we have, who did you just say? Oh, Deontay Johnson.
Deontay Johnson.
Okay. We got to get Adam still. We'll get his off the air. Now, I got a guy here. You guys tell me if this is this rolls what you guys got so far, because I want to keep it in the same area. And I'm going to go with Demaryius Thomas. Is that fair?
That's fair.
That plays along the lines of you guys. I don't want to go too high or too low. I want to keep it close. So is Demaryius Thomas fair? Do you both confirm?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't hear the other Josh. Fun. He's being quiet. Okay. I heard him somewhere. All right, cool. So yeah. So we got Demaryius Thomas, Taylor Gabriel, Deontay Johnson. Now, when I ask Adam, he's going to be like, DeAndre Hopkins. That's what he's going to do. That's the kind of guy he's going to give us. But these three, legit. We'll see if Adam can play in the same realm with us. So those are our not-so-obvious flex locks of the week. Hopefully our listeners play them at their own risk. And I would like a week where we all do good. And, like, you know, it's not just one of us obviously won, or in some cases, none of us obviously win. I would like us all to do pretty damn good at Flex Lock of the Week 1 week. So hopefully with our guests, we do it this week. We do it this week. So we'll see how this plays out. Now we're going to jump over to Foul or No Foul to wrap this bad boy up. I have 3 Foul or No Fouls for the week. In case you're a new listener, you're not familiar with Foul or No Foul, I'm going to throw statements at these guys. They're going to tell me whether they agree with the statement. If they agree with it, they're going to say that there's no foul on the statement. If they disagree with what's being said in the statement, then they're calling foul on that statement. So the first one, the first foul or no foul we have for today is the Broncos are benching Joe Flacco this week as punishment because of his critical statements made about the team and not because he's injured. Foul or no foul? Crocker, you can start.
I think it has something to do with his statements about the team.
His neck looked awfully good, right?
What did you say?
His neck looked awfully fine when he was tearing the team up, right?
Yeah, he didn't seem to be too uncomfortable out there, and his neck seemed fine when he was in the press conference too. But I think this is them letting him know that he stepped out of line and that there's a price with, you know, having a mind and speaking it. So I hope he keeps doing it. Good for him. What does Flacco really have to lose at this point?
Josh.
Again?
What were you talking about?
Oh, man. All right. So Flacco, his neck. I don't know. I'm going to say foul because I saw the hit, and he was definitely trying to stretch it out after the game. And the way those things can go, it doesn't mean you're not fine in the press conference afterwards, but once you get home, it probably starts hurting worse. So
I think I need to get out.
Maybe it contributed to the decision, but I think his neck definitely isn't feeling great.
A little bit of both, a little bit of punishment, a little bit of actual injury. I think I need to get some kind of dinger or sound effect every time Josh says a name different than everybody else.
You definitely need that.
Yeah. He hit us
They're
with
all the, correct.
He hit us with the Flacco this time. I'm curious how much we think it sounds off and then listeners think it sounds off. I'm curious what the percentage is, because there's got to be other Crockers out there that are like, there's nothing wrong with it. It's Flacco. It's Sanu. It's Saquon. Like, there's got to be other ones who agree with it. They hear it normal. We hear it like, what? I don't know.
It's I'm something curious. With the A's, though. It's always the
yeah,
A's.
Yeah, he's doing something weird. I don't know if it's an Oklahoma thing or what. Like I said, maybe. Filling in for Josh for Crocker here is a hard one to do. All right, the next one here. HBO has announced that they have officially ordered a Game of Thrones prequel series. So the statement is, this series will be more popular than the original. Foul or no foul?
Foul. It won't be more popular. It'll be popular, but it'll be more of a cult following kind of a thing.
Yeah, prequels don't usually do so good. Sequels don't usually do so good. Josh, do you agree? No chance?
I mean, how are we going with popular? If it's going to have as many viewers, if not more, okay. than the well, early I mean, seasons of Game of Thrones.
If you say more.
But as far as lasting like excitement, it's I don't believe it can have that.
Okay, so you think
it's not going to hit the heights of pop culture relevancy that the original had.
Okay, so you think more viewers possibly but less cultural impact.
Yeah, people are going to want to see it, you know, but how many people are going to be there for the end of the season?
Yeah, especially when the people feel they dropped the ball on the last one. We'll see. We'll see how it carries over. The last one here is Twitter needs to stop titling the trending topics under their trending category just by a person's name, because I always think the person died. Foul or no foul?
I am with you with this one 100%.
It kills me, man. No, I see it. I'm like, Jimmy Fallon, did he die? Like, every time I see a name, I'm like, oh my God, he died. What happened? Every time. I'm like, you gotta stop just putting a damn name like that. You gotta put something. Give me something besides just the name. Drives me crazy. Especially sometimes you see an older person, you're like, oh, don't tell me to die. Or then you see a young person, like, oh, car accident or something, what the hell happened? And you click on it, you're like, oh, what? They just got a new movie coming out. Big, no big deal. Like, put the name of the movie. Don't just put the actor's name or whatever it is. Like, give me something. Give me something. God, Josh obviously enjoys it. He's like, please be dead. Please be dead.
I like legit never use that part of Twitter.
I like it. I like that feature, Josh.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, that's fine. You can like it. I'm just telling you that I never look at it.
Josh doesn't. You don't look at it because you'll say all their names wrong. You pronounce them all wrong. You love it. It's probably someone just Rendon? Like you.
I'm pretty sure I nailed that.
Which one? Right?
Rendon. Strasburg.
What are you talking about?
I think
about?
I'm paid for two.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Dave Martinez.
Are you looking Definitely at the list right now? That one. What is this guy talking about?
Reading Listen. Names under the Twitter.
Oh, trending. You're looking at it right now. Oh, okay.
To show you how well I can read names.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. You don't do them well. Trust me.
I could take attendance with the best of them.
Take attendance with the best of
them. Oh, you're poor kids.
I know, right? He must slaughter their names. Like, they must hate it.
Man. No, I get them. Let me tell you, I say them right.
I don't believe you. Not at all.
No AA Rons in my class.
This guy has got to kill that class. Every day they're like, not again. Do they call you Mr. Josh or Mr. Crocker?
They, like, we wear name tags, you know what I mean? And so it says Josh Crocker on it. And sometimes a kid thinks they're cute and they call me Josh. And it does not fly.
Wearing name tags? I don't remember teachers wearing name tags.
It's like a security thing.
Hmm. Like a badge?
Yeah.
You got, like, your face on it and stuff?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Makes sense. Now I know what you're talking about. Okay, I thought you meant just like, hi, my name is... kind of thing.
No. No.
Sticker with Sharpie.
See, class is almost like the whole school year is almost over and you're still wearing it. Hi, my name is. It's like, all right, don't think we need this anymore.
I got the whole semester with this one.
All right, so that is it for Foul or No Foul. We close out the show with Show and Tell. I actually don't have a Show and Tell today, so I kind of feel bad about it. Do either one of you have Show and Tells today? Anything you want to show about, tell about, complain about, anything at all?
We We got a new cat. It's been fun.
A new cat.
Our old cat was very, I don't know, reserved. And this cat actually like plays with our son, which is nice. Somebody's got to do that.
What happened to the old cat? He died?
We still got her.
Oh, okay. Because you made it sound like past tense.
We're just going a step further into crazy cat people. We have two now.
I'm afraid to ask, but what did you name this cat?
My wife named both of them. One of the new one is Shiloh.
Shiloh, okay. So you can say that name, right? That's good.
Saquon. We named the cat Saquon. I'll admit that's wrong. It's Saquon. I that one was wrong.
Okay. Did you mean to say it though, or we're just correcting you and you're admitting
it? It just flew out. But Flacco. I think that one could go either way.
You know, I have two dogs. Speaking of names of our pets, and tell me if you guys think this is corny. I named one of my dogs Magic, for my Orlando Magic. I named my other dog, since she's a female, I couldn't name her Raider, so I named her Raida. Creative or corny?
You just do you, Neil, man. It's all right.
I figure if I throw the on it, that's a girl. So Raida. Yeah,
that's how that works. I agree.
So I got Raida.
You have two of them. You should name one like black and the other one white.
No, I got Magic and Raida. Black
and white.
Magic, Raida. Bam. You got dogs, Josh? Cats?
No, anything? I hate dogs.
Either one of you?
Oh, sorry. You weren't talking to me.
Yeah, I'm Josh Crocker.
You're Crocker, right, not Josh.
You finally get me on this podcast, and I have to share it with another Josh. Man.
It's terrible. It's better than showing it with an...
I do like dogs. Listen, over cats. I'm not a cat person, but right now we don't have one.
Okay. It's better than sharing this show with a guy named Adam. I'll just let you know that. This happened this way on a reason, man. You didn't want to share it with Adam. Trust me. We'd have another hour to go if you shared it with Adam. All right. Do you have anything to show and tell? Guess, Josh?
Yeah, sure. I'll share one quick thing, which is probably the one thing going on right now in my life that is hampering my fantasy football analysis the most, which is my son started playing Minecraft. And so I started playing with him, and that was probably a really bad decision. So I don't know who out there, maybe you played it, you know, years back or whatever. Maybe you're just getting into it now, but it does kind of get old. You know, it's just kind of almost too easy. But there is this mod that's new out. It's a collection of mods, this mod pack card called RL Craft, as in real life craft. And this is basically Minecraft from hell. You're constantly afraid of dying. Everything wants to kill you. It is, I have died more playing this than I have since playing like old Nintendo RPG games. In fact, it reminds me a lot of playing like Dragon Warrior, where you're just scratching and scraping for every tiny bit of advancement you can get. So it's as terrible as it sounds, it's actually pretty fun. So if you played Minecraft in the past and got tired of it because it was a kiddie game or whatever, you could check this out. And it's definitely filling the hole of more of a grown-up feel for the game that the vanilla doesn't have.
I felt like you were describing my life for a second. You're like, you constantly think you're going to die. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, seriously, you're just you spawn in, and it's like a combination of 120 individual other modifications, little things here that are all brought together by this one guy to work together. And seriously, you spawn in, you don't even know where. Sometimes you spawn in underwater and you drown when you just start in the game. You know, you spawn in and there's some creature over there, and you have no clue whether this is friendly or not. Spoilers: it's probably not. He probably wants to kill you, so it's fun.
Yeah, my kids have the game on Xbox and on their tablets and stuff, but I never see them like really playing the game. They're always just like building stuff. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, that is the basic game, and don't let your little kids play RL Craft. They will have nightmares.
It's funny that you gave a nod to Dragon Warrior too, man. That's my favorite game ever, ever.
Yeah, I died so many times.
I actually, I bought a Nintendo, how many years ago? I don't know how many years ago it was, off of eBay. And I started buying games, and I was trying to get all the Dragon Warriors, and I finally got most of them. I'm thinking I'm missing one or two still. But they were getting expensive, boy. Dragon Warrior was not cheap. Not cheap.
I still got my old Nintendo, and I have Dragon Warrior 2 is the one I had.
Yeah, I think 4 was my favorite. I think I accidentally bought two of them on eBay, so I paid double the price because of that. I won two things at the same time instead of one. That's how it worked. How it works sometimes, fellas. All right, so that's it for the show today. I think we knocked off this pretty well. I think we gave a lot of good advice, some good entertainment, some mispronounced names. We did a little bit of everything. We did the important stuff. We got everything out of the way. So I do want to let Josh, the guest Josh, slow your roll, Crocker. I want to let Josh give away his Twitter handle again, the website, the podcast, all that good stuff, so people know where to find you and interact with you and support you and all that good stuff and get stuff a week ahead of time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. The website, it's not really kept up to date. There's nothing much to do except for podcasts on there, but that's where you can find links to wherever your host is, wherever you get your podcasts. But you can just search in that platform for Fusion Fantasy Football. And then as far as Twitter goes, it's at FusionFFB. And my personal one is at generally_aware. Never know what you're going to get there.
He'll argue with you there.
Yeah.
That's what I'll do.
Always.
Josh, where can they find you? What latest work do you have out for them to consume? All that good stuff. Crocker, that is.
So on Twitter, it's @JC Crocker, and then I'm still writing the weekly waiver article for Player Profiler.
What? Do you have a new article out, though, or is it not out yet?
It today.
Oh, it came out. Okay.
Today.
Give us a clue, man. What's something that's on there?
Jonnu Smith's on the cover.
Oh,
of course he is. Jonnu
Smith. Now we're definitely not going to read it. That's a horrible article. Horrible. Someone needs to talk to Matt about this. It's ridiculous.
I'm kind of hoping and waiting for Brian Hill, too.
You're hoping and waiting for a whole lot of stuff. It ain't happening. But you did say you got DeAndre Washington on there?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's worth reading.
I think he's the Josh Jacobs backup. I think he's kind of surpassed Jalen Richard.
I think he has, too. I think it's just what they're trying to do more of. I think you're right.
Can I tell you that I looked at some of Josh Jacobs' numbers, and it's looking bad for the anti-Josh Jacobs team.
I'm glad that you've said it. Is this an apology, Josh?
I'm not ready to apologize yet, but
you need to apologize.
Josh Jacobs might be good at football.
But what does this teach you? What do you learn from that, Crocker?
What do I learn?
What does that dispel for you? Like all the reasoning. No, listen. All the reasoning that you were against Jacobs for, if he's actually good, then what do you learn?
I learned that you're never 100% right, or you're never 100% sure about a player. But there are low probability profiles, and Jacobs is still one of those.
All right. You don't want to give in.
I learned that yards created matters.
That's a good point. That's fair.
What's important is that we end out this show knowing that Josh Jacobs is a good running back. And that's how we're going to end this thing, because Josh Jacobs is a very good running back.
There is an Oklahoma State player. You guys might have heard of him before. He's the running back. Do you know his name?
No.
His name is C-H-U-B-A. Okay. Chuba. H-U-B-B-A-R-D. Hubbard. Chuba Hubbard drives me fucking crazy.
Why?
Because it should be Chuba Hubbard.
Oh, my. You would definitely sound like a Chuba, though. You sound like the guy that would say Chuba.
What the fuck is Chuba?
You haven't said anything right lately. So I think Chuba is how you would say it if we were on a podcast talking about Chuba. And we would all say Chuba.
It should be Chuba. Chuba Hubbard. That's beautiful.
It's a beautiful name, just like Josh Jacobs. All right, guys. That's it. We're out. As always, thank you again to Josh for coming on the show. Thank you to Crocker for showing up. We hope Adam has a safe trip. As always, be kind, be great, keep dodging.